Welcome to Coaching Hope for You. I'm Kim Hansen Petroni, founder of Coaching Hope for You and Not a Casserole Widow. In this podcast, I share short reflections and coaching insights drawn from my writing about healing after betrayal, divorce, and rebuilding life after relational trauma. Here's something I've noticed both in my own life and the lives of the women I work with. We talk a lot about faith. We gather in faith communities. We say the right words, but real is rare. And when you've experienced intimate betrayal, you don't need polished answers or spiritual cliches. You need something honest, something grounded, something that can actually hold what you've been through. Today, I want to talk about what it means when real is missing and why it matters. Faith communities, real is rare. I don't feel safe going to church anymore. The voices of the people in the lobby vibrate too loudly for my already rattled mind. The pressure to smile at familiar faces, encouraging them to believe my life is the perfect dream they want it to be, feels nauseating. Walking into the sanctuary causes my heart to beat frantically, and I'm forced to silence the intrusive thoughts of you watching those women on your phone. I'm overwhelmed and want to creep out of the service, escaping to anywhere else. I feel more alone in church than I do in the isolation of our bedroom. This is a snippet from a letter a wife wrote her husband detailing how her life has changed since learning of his hidden problematic sexual behaviors. They were his secret their whole marriage. Her view of church is not unique. I'm finding a distressing trend among our community of the betrayed who love the Lord. Their church is not a refuge when they desperately need safety. So, like she wrote a letter to her husband, I thought I would write a letter to our churches. My letter is an infomercial. Dear faith leaders, I'm yearning to hear God's voice of salvation in our churches, but I actually don't. I'm unsettled every time I walk into a space preaching openness and forgiveness and centering honesty in their next breath. I'm observing our churches exhibit willful disobedience to Scripture as it relates to pornography and problematic behaviors in relationships. Here's the real truth. It's not okay to lust, period. Faith communities quietly allow lust and sexual immoralities because the church, the leadership, the education tool God uses, choose to obey Scripture through avoidance. Your abject ignorance gaslights the truth the betrayed intuit. Lies, pornography, and shame-based behaviors are just wrong. In Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, whatever brings to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. I encourage you to remain with me, even if you're feeling uncomfortable as you hear this. Your cringe detector is letting you know what the betrayed feel every time they enter your sanctuary when you ignore their truth. Wives or partners who have sought pastoral counsel shared with me the responses they have received from the faith community in relationship to pornography in their marriage. Here is a list of what was told to them. It's just an enhancement in the marital bed. It's not like he's cheating. Isn't it your duty to submit? Why are you having so much trouble with it? If you don't like it, just ignore it. Nothing in the Bible talks about pornography, really. We all sin in some way. At least you know where he is. Why do you care if he looks at other women? All men do. Just get over it. He'll stop soon. Perhaps you need to spice it up yourself. Maybe he's bored. Just lose a baby weight. You can't ask him to stop. He's too fragile right now. Have more faith. God is the miracle worker. Conversely, the faith community doesn't know what to do with betrayers who compulsively continue to deceive their partners through problematic sexual behavior. And their well-meaning insensitivity, here's a response most churches have when a betrayer comes forward and says they believe they have been sinful by cheating in the relationship. or their wife is mad that they can't stop looking at pornography. They're met with uncomfortable silence because maybe the pastor has the same problem. They support the husband with no lifeline for the wife. They tell the betrayer just to stop. Pray more. Read the Bible. They isolate the offender and remove him from the church. I have never heard a pastor say, looking at pornography is wrong and can lead you to an uncontrollable addiction. If you can't stop looking at it, we will support you, love your family, and help you find a way to stop. Faith leaders, there is good news. You can properly support these families with three of these top tips. Number one, stop recommending couples therapy. Couples can heal from sexual acting out, but this type of betrayal is not a couples therapy issue. The real truth is problematic sexual behavior is the betrayer's issue, but it violates the betrayed's sense of safety, which leads to PTSD-like symptoms. Both betrayer and the betrayed need individualized support and highly trained betrayal trauma support for the couple so they can reconstruct a new relationship together. Number two, be honest. Problematic sexual behavior relies on secrecy to flourish. Last time I checked, the Bible tells us to live in truth. Why aren't we, the supposed hands and feet of Jesus, living in truth when it comes to problematic sexual behavior? Pretending pornography, problematic and compulsive sexual behavior doesn't exist in your churches is like pouring gas on the fire. Offer people a judgment-free zone to speak openly, either through groups with qualified leadership or trauma-trained coaches or therapists. I'm sorry to say, but this is really not a space for a Stephen minister. Number three, educate yourselves. Have the courage to find the right answers. Have you incorporated the latest healing modalities? I looked in one of my church's libraries, and the void is blatant. Zero books addressing what is probably the number one silent stalker in our faith community. I commend the few churches willing to speak out on this. However, my soul is inconsolable when I see our faith community dismiss the betrayed's insatiable wails and the betrayer's silent shame. Jesus wants more for his people. He wants us to feel adored, not abhorred, embraced, not excluded, and valued, not vile. He touched the unclean, pulled them up, and encouraged them to hold their heads high, because not only does he forgive them, he wants more for them. Church families, what keeps you from doing the same? Jesus wants you to provide real healing. If this reflection stirred something in you, if you felt the absence of real in spaces that were meant to feel safe, you're not alone. Healing doesn't require perfection. It requires honesty. And sometimes the most faithful thing you can do is tell the truth about where you are. At the end of this podcast, in the notes section, you will find numerous areas for you to find additional support and education. You can also find additional support, reflections, or resources at coachinghopeforyou.com and through Not a Casserole Widow. Until next time, be kind to yourself. You're rebuilding something sacred.